we're going to move on to another chapter, Isaiah 43. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Isaiah 43. We're going to read the first two verses here to start off with. It says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Diane, would you ask the blessing upon this word, please? Amen. So to start off here, basically the Lord is saying, you know, I'm going to be with you, Israel, and I'm going to protect you. And the Lord has been with Israel through the waters, through the fires, through the Holocaust, and through all the tragedies. He still maintained them as a people, hasn't he? King Frederick of Persia had a debate in his court. And he wanted to know if the Bible was really true. And so taking the case of the atheists was, you probably heard of him, Voltaire. Taking the case for the Christians was a Monrovian missionary by the name of Count von Zin, I have a hard time pronouncing his name, but it's Count von Zinzendorf. The Count stood before Frederick and said, "I can prove the validity of the Bible in two words." "Oh," said Frederick. "And what are those two words?" He said, "The Jews." The Jews. The Jewish people are truly a miraculous people. Well, I should say there are people who have, by their actions and by God's deliverance, shown the miraculous. Even though they've been without a homeland for almost 2,000 years, they have retained their national identity, their heritage, their language, their customs, and they've maintained their religion, everything. And so the question is, how is that even possible? Well, the answer is one word, God. God. And so that's the main message of these two verses, plain and simple. But again, I don't want to just present to you a history lesson tonight just about the Jewish people, as important as that is, and that we've covered quite a bit of that already. But I wanted to focus on a practical application of what God said to the Jewish people here for us today. Again, the Jewish people certainly have had plenty of causes to be afraid, but God says, don't be afraid. And with all that's going on in the world today, people everywhere are so fearful because of the unknown future, and it seems so dark, it seems so bleak. And for the believer even, I believe God is saying to us right now as believers the same thing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And as we've often shared with you, the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 10 that the things that happened to Israel happened for our admonition. I'm sorry, it's chapter 10, and I wrote down the wrong scripture. I'm sorry. I didn't write it down. So anyway, you know what it says. It says, the things that happened to them happened for our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come. Romans 9, verse 22 through 26 says, "What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long sufferings the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, and not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles." What does that tell us? That the message is for us too. As he says also in Hosea, "I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. So let's look back at the days of Joshua when they were standing near the water, ready to cross over into the promised land. Again, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness were finally over, and Moses, the man who had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, is basically dead at this particular time. And now it's time for Joshua to take Moses' staff and to shepherd Israel. And the people, of course, through the inspiration of God, named him Moses' successor. And again, it's time for them to cross the Jordan River and to take possession of the promised land. Now, if they could get over this one last obstacle, they would finally be home. But on the other side of the Jordan, if you know, the land flowing with milk and honey is what was reported. Again, it was the fulfillment of all their dreams. Standing on the other side of the river, though, is the giants. And so Joshua and the people may have been a little bit apprehensive. They didn't know whether they should cross over or not at this particular time, because those giants still occupied the land. The cities to be captured were strongly fortified. And yet, what does the Lord tell Joshua? He tells him the same thing in Joshua 1 and 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, to succeed in this new assignment, Joshua and the people needed to overcome their fear. And again, God tells them this very same thing over and over again. And he wasn't just asking or requesting this or suggesting it to Joshua. This was God issuing a command: fear not. Now let's read Isaiah 43 and 2 again and put it into our life's application. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. The government tries to put things upon you and make you do things that you do not feel like you should do. God will be with you. Do not fear that. As we stand on the edge of this last year, 2021, we're almost the end of the year. I believe God is telling us not to fear. And we are embarking upon a new path that we've never been on before. And there's a lot of dangers. And we can become as anxious and fearful just as much as they were. But if you are a believer, God has said he has given us a sound mind. And we're exhorted to be strong. And we're exhorted to be courageous. God has given us the power so that we can overcome every obstacle. And the thing that he has given us that we should most assure our hearts is the fact that he said he loves us. In 2 Timothy verse 1 through 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Has he not said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Why do we doubt? Because of this love, we should have no reason, you know, to doubt him. There's no need to be gripped with fear, or controlled or paralyzed by that fear. God tells us not to fear because he's in control of every situation. Do we think that he is not in control of every situation? And he is our refuge, and he is our strength. God is our help in the time of trouble. The question for us is, do we believe that? Because the promises of God are appropriated to us and by us by faith. Now, if Joshua and Israel, if they refused God's command and chose not to go fight, would they have inherited the land? No. But they put one step in front of the other. And they crossed that Jordan River, and they went to battle, and God was with them, and they overcame. You see, God, he knows your name. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. So we don't have to be fearful of the unknown. You can stand there and you can believe the lies of the enemy and shake and tremble, or you can take God at his word. Luke 12, verse 4 through 12 says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I say to you, whom you should fear, fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Also, I say to whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And if anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry how you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you what that very hour what you ought to say. The day may come where we will be standing before court to give an account for why we believe or why we refuse to walk in the world's way of doing things, which in our opinion would be sin. People fear so many things, you know, that this world threatens us with, that the world is just gripped by fear. And you can see what's in people's heart, considering you look at the media and the things they put out in the movies and things like that. It's always about murder. It's always about horror. It's dark stuff. But I think what they're doing is they're revealing what's in their hearts. People fear failing. They fear criticism. They fear poverty, the old age, and the prospect of separation or divorce. We worry about politics and we worry about our health. The thing we need to remember is that fear is a natural human emotion, but, you know, failing to rise above it can cripple even the strongest person. It does paralyze it, and it robs you of a quality of life that God wants you to have. And it often results in deep depression and causes your spiritual life to come to a screeching halt. So the Bible says, fear unchecked basically brings torment. And people are tormented in the heart, but also in the mind. And when we're overwhelmed with that kind of fear, we can't even think straight. Everywhere we turn, the media industry fills our ears with noise of unemployment, murders, and the increase of crime, failing economy, gas prices, the cost of food. And then the doctors flood our ears with cancer, HIV, COVID-19 vaccine mandates. On top of that, all of our families and friends, you know, they're continually speak to us about their fears and their troubles, and they speak those things into our lives that really put a strain on us and weaken our faith at times. But again, we got to come back to the source of strength, the source of hope. Isaiah 24, verse 17 through 18 says, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken." Now, this definitely is the lot for those who do not believe. But for those who believe, I believe that God is, he's prepared a way for us that's different. Even though all of these are constantly bombarding us, we don't have to listen to all those noises. We don't have to agree with them. We don't have to line ourselves up with them in any way, shape, or form. And the reason why, 1 John 5 and 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, Our faith. It's believing God and taking Him at His word. We can overcome these noises of fear by our faith. And even though we hear these noises every day, again, it doesn't mean we have to be afraid. Again, remember God's promises. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." And I really truly believe that that is one of the keys to joy and happiness, is learning to be content. "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you and I will not forsake you." The question we have set before you here tonight, do you believe that? The secret of Joshua's strength and his courage and his fearlessness, I believe it was the presence of God in his life. And he had a great example in that of Moses. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 through 17, it says, "And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." You see what was in the heart of Joshua. "Then Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I'm telling you, when God speaks to your heart and gives you that kind of assurance, it makes all the difference in the world. "And then he said to him, If your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here." Does that sound like Moses was having some doubts? Certainly did. "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, and the people who are upon the face of the earth." And so the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Do you think God knows you by name? He certainly does. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." Even in His last words on earth, He promised to be with us. Before He ascended into heaven, listen to what He said in Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And on earth, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So no matter what's going on in your life, Jesus is here with you. And by abiding in His presence, He will give us the strength to overcome. You got to know who you are. When you put your faith in Jesus and become His follower, you are adopted into God's family and you become one of His children. You're now a child of God and the Holy Spirit is with you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you, and nothing will come your way that you cannot overcome. Now again, how do you appropriate these things for yourself? Again, by faith. One of the first things you need to do is let go of the past. That's one of the things that really hinder people a lot of times. They hold on to the past. Paul, he said in Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, he's not appropriated that yet, but he's working. He was striving for it, driving for it. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." The next thing is, refuse to focus on fear. Guard your eyes, guard your ears, Don't let fear rob you of your joy. Psalm 37, verse 12 through 15 says, "The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay those who are upright of conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." This is why we should not fear those who are threatening. Psalms 11, 1 through 7. "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" In other words, run away. "For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on a string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men." Think about that. If the foundations are destroyed, what is the foundation? There's no other foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He will endure forever. What can the righteous do if the Lord wasn't there? But he is there and he abides forever. "The Lord tests the righteous." In other words, the Lord allows us sometimes to go through things to see what our faith is made of. "But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals and fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." I'm telling you, there's some wonderful promises here. The next thing is realize that God is with you. Even though you can't feel him, even though you may not sense his presence, he's there. Psalms 118 and 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me." And then lastly here, we want to look at pray always. Pray always. In Psalms 34, verse 4 through 7, it says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about all those who fear him and delivers them." So again, it is important that we confront our fears. You'll never win unless you rise and confront those things that are causing you fear. You gotta trust God in everything that we are afraid of to take care of those things. And I think the most important is that we see them as an opportunity to surrender into God's hand every portion of our lives, because we always have a tendency to want to handle every situation ourselves. Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Proverbs 3, verse 19 through 26 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. The clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes, and keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. And when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of the sudden terror." I want to repeat that again. "Do not be afraid of the sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Boy, that's another wonderful promise, isn't it? I think it's important also to remember what God's done for you in the past. As we shared with you before, they serve as anchors for our soul to keep us steadfast. And we meditate upon his words and remember his promises are yea and amen. And then you've got to be filled with his love. Filled with his love. Because remember, that's what God said he's given us. That spirit of love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. When we allow love to prevail, fear stops existing. Lastly, but most important, is to walk in the fear of the Lord. The only way, a positive way to walk in fear is to walk in the fear of the Lord. Job, I think, sets a good example for us. In Job 23, verse 8 through 16, he said, look, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. Anybody here ever feel like that? When he works on my left hand, I cannot behold him. When I turn to my right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul's desire, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things with him. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. And when I consider this, I am afraid of him. For God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me. Was Job correct in his analysis here? Absolutely, 100%. So often, we have a tendency to question God. Why did you do this, God? Why are you allowing this, God? Look, you look at the people in the New Testament, the things that they went through. God had a reason and purpose for everything that he did. And God has a reason and purpose in our lives as well. We still have to trust him that he's God. That is walking in the fear of the Lord. Amen? And that's what, if we are going to be successful in a relationship with him, have joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, we have to recognize that fact. Any questions or any thoughts before we close in prayer?